Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Overnight America. Remix that one. No. We have another hour live, and then after midnight is the replay hour, which is fun. But if you wanted to listen to it yourself, you can go to KMOX.com/ONA, which is pretty neat. I was playing around on the radio.com website, and I typed in KMOX just to see this rewind function. It's actually pretty neat. So you can listen to the radio station live, but then you could click a button to listen to past, like you just like go in reverse, and then you can listen to any part of the station at any time. Except for a few times in the entire course of the day. Here are the two times you're not allowed to rewind and listen back on demand. During Rush Limbaugh's program, which is something I understand, it's because his nationally syndicated program, we don't necessarily have the rights to rebroadcast Rush Limbaugh. He has his own rights for that. And the only other time you can't do it during the day is the replay hours for Overnight America. I don't know why they're excluded, but they are. Me and Rush Limbaugh. And I had this question I wanted to ask because some people are wondering, is it okay to date a coworker? This is the question that came up in USA Today because McDonald's CEO was recently fired for having a consensual relationship with an unidentified employee. So let's look at it a couple of different ways. Can you date a coworker? Yes, I think most people would say that's fine. Should you date your boss? 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. Should you date your boss? That's a good question, isn't it? What are you smiling at me for, Mike? I don't like that. I'll just say this about myself. I've never dated a boss. However, my wife was a coworker before we were married. She was someone that was hired into the radio stations I was working at. She was the receptionist. And I, you know, went out on, this is how I met my wife. We were teamed up on a cornhole tournament through the company. Like the company did this like cookout every once in a while or whatever. And we were the team. And I said, hey, we should probably get together and practice. And that's how it all started. I'm real slick, huh? I'm real slick. I know. USA Today says it's not clear what led to the CEO being fired other than the consensual relationship with this employee, but he's the CEO. So they asked a couple of people about this. Workplace dating as a human resources expert, Johnny C. Taylor Jr., which sounds like a made-up name. Johnny C. Taylor Jr.? They said it's incredibly common. Private companies have the right in most states to prohibit worker-manager relationships. There's also a social stigma attached to specifically dating the boss. If you're an employee or the boss being someone that would date an employee, being romantically intertwined with each other. Allison Green, the founder of a career advice website called Ask a Manager, said 100% you cannot date your boss. Said employees run the risk of favoritism or even the appearance of favoritism among their coworkers if they enter a relationship with their boss. More importantly, there's the risk of sexual harassment due to the power differential between the employee and the manager. There's a power dynamic, which means there could be a feeling of pressure, could be the feeling of, well, if you're the boss and you ask someone out, they may feel like they're obligated to say yes. Otherwise, it could negatively affect them in the workplace. So there's that with it too. A lot of people say, no, 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 you can't date the boss. Can you date the boss, though? Are you, what do you say? What do you think? 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And you're someone that could actually text in this line, too, at 314-436-7900. Maybe you call the person you're dating the boss. Maybe it's probably better that way. Like, you know, in my house, the wife's the boss. You know, she's the one that gets to call all the shots. I don't like it. It's just the way it is. No, except the thermostat. No. She's never allowed to determine what that thermostat's at, period. We have a few rules in the house. She gets to call a lot of different... she gets to make the calls for a lot of different things. She can make a lot of different wrong calls, and I'm totally fine with it just because it's easier for me to be hands-off, and I don't need to have input on everything. However, if she touches the thermostat, no way. Not allowed. Don't even try it. Don't even pretend to try it. So she's pretty good at calling. So if there's a dynamic there, she'd probably be the boss of the situation. Okay, so dating a coworker, they say, is fine with a few exceptions. It says that there's a chain of command, for example. Other professionals have, like, a code where you got to inform someone in HR just in case there's some sort of conflict that arises in the future. Every workplace has their own certain ways that they handle this, so they say just check with it ahead of time, but mostly that's okay. All right, date your boss. Is it okay? You tell me. The CEO of McDonald's got fired for it. You may think it's perfectly fine. You may think it's a bad idea. Have you ever dated your boss? You tell me, how did that work out? I want to hear some horror stories too. Wouldn't that be great? Some people calling in, yeah, I thought it was great, but then I dated the boss, it didn't work out, and I got fired. I want to hear those stories. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. So would you date your boss, given the opportunity? Or better yet, have you ever dated the boss? And how did that turn out? 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let's go to Mike in St. Louis. Hi.
How you doing, Ryan?
Good.
Now, but is it okay to date a coworker? I would say yes. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, as long as whatever policies you got, you can't be given those special privileges to your coworker's date or boss. You should treat everybody equal and keep that favoritism on the side when you're off the clock. Now, if you own a business, that might be a different story if you're like partners or something, but I don't think they should get no special privileges. In other words, the same rules to apply to the person dating the boss. As long as they don't let the rules interfere and they do their equal work, I think it's fine.
Yeah. You know, I will say, when I dated my coworker, who is now my wife, I didn't treat everyone else the same. She was special to me. So I also, if I brought her a coffee or a lunch, I didn't buy it for everyone else. So they do get some special privileges, but you're talking something that would affect your job performance, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And as far as what you did for her, buying her something nice, I think that's okay.
Of course.
I love my wife, but I didn't date her then, but it's his coworker. Of course, if I love that person, I'm still going to do the equal work, but I might want to get her fired or something special. Yeah, that's fine.
Wait, how did you meet your wife?
Well, when I first met her, I don't want to go whole story because you don't like me saying it. I went to church, but she wasn't church crazy. She liked to go fishing, you know, for real fish.
Okay.
And then later, she got saved, which I was glad she did. And she had written the Bible, pray for me. She wanted to heal the sick, and she wanted to cast a devil, and she got away from that. She's a wonderful Christian wife. We have our disagreements, but that's just how we met that way. And she didn't care for me too much, but I always loved her. And I'm glad my dad married us, but he passed away. But she's a wonderful person. She don't like me talking about her, nothing like that. We have our difference, but I just love her dearly.
Wait, you met her fishing?
No. I met her because she get her to go to church, but she'd rather go fishing than go to church. You know, fish out in the water.
Okay. Yeah.
She wasn't church crazy, but she goes to church now.
Perfect.
But I couldn't marry a better person because I'm not the most easiest person to live with. But she's a great wife. We have a difference, but I love her unconditionally.
Oh, that's wonderful.
For better or worse.
Thank you, Mike, for sharing that. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
All right. Should you, or let's say this, have you ever dated a boss? Tell me how it worked out. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let's go to Jeff in Ferguson. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Good.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, best intentions, things can, a lot of times things can go badly.
Yeah.
So, but then you can't control what people feel and all that stuff, but they probably should. They probably should have stuff in place, like policies, so in case stuff does go wrong.
I think most places won't allow it. If they do allow it, then it's got to be a really small situation, a small office situation where something like that would be okay. But yeah, most of the time, if it's a large corporation, you wouldn't ever see it. And I don't know. I feel that there is a lot that can be taken advantage of there. And if you are someone in a position of power, you do have the ability to be intimidating to someone else that thinks that their job can
even
be affected by saying no.
The boss is unintentional. They may not realize they're doing it because.
And you know what? I don't think let's say you're a male boss. I don't think the girls like it when the boss goes around hitting on them. I think they would hate that situation, like to be put in that situation.
Well, yeah, hitting on people, yeah, but I think yeah, it's something naturally, you know what I'm saying, naturally happens.
Like, what would be in a situation that would be a natural way to set up a date?
Getting close to someone during work and, you know, like not, you know, like two people go out to drinks or getting wild working or stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay.
And then they naturally get close, stuff like that.
Like it. All right, Jeff. Hey, thank you very much.
All right. Good night.
Has anyone listening right now dated their boss? How did that work out? Was it something that was perfectly fine, or did it end up being a disaster? 436-7900 or 800-925-1120.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know. Oh, boy. Oh, boy is right. I like how Jeff said, okay, the scenarios of where you would encounter someone. Remember back in the 80s and 90s, every sitcom had that moment where you met the girl. And it was always there was some very classic setups. Yeah, she left her umbrella on the subway and you had to chase her down to go get it. Or you know what, one of my favorite ones, they made it sound like if as a guy, you would meet the love of your life like this and it was almost a guarantee you'll meet someone. You bump into each other and all your papers go flying in the air and then you go down onto the ground to try to collect your papers. And while you're collecting your papers, you look up. You guys meet eyes, and it's love at first sight. That's never happened to anyone. Why does TV put the hopes? Yeah, all the television shows that decided to put that premise together, why? Why did you give everyone the hope that that was going to happen? And then, or they could have a coffee in their hand, and you're both going around the corner at the same time, not paying attention, and you hit, and coffee on your dress shirt. Oh, sorry. And then your eyes meet. It's always like the eyes meet moment after bumping into each other in an accident. No one ever talks about the real situations where you meet that significant other. The real situations like, you know, your friends are egging you on to go talk to someone even though you're too nervous to do something like that. Or in today's modern world, dating website apps like Tinder, swiping whatever. I don't know which way you swipe. Is to swipe right good and swipe right, left is bad. I think that's how it goes. But in today's society, I feel like most workplaces would, even the people in the workplaces, if the boss came on to them or even suggested the idea of taking this to a, let's go out after work, I feel like immediately the red flags go up and most people don't want to see those sort of things. I guess there's an opportunity for the people that want to date the boss. You think there's people that want to date the boss out there? Most people are like, I hate my boss. Ah, my boss is terrible. I can't wait to get away from them. Oh, man, now I don't have to worry about hearing from my boss. Oh, I wish they'd leave me alone. Get up. Most people complain about that dynamic at some point. I don't know. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I saw another article out there in the Washingtonian, I think it's Washingtonian, Washingtonian, whatever the newspaper is called. So sleeping together for married couples, it's a given. But they did a survey. Do you sleep better with or without someone else in the bed? This is a question that some people are now looking at. And it says, do people sleep better when they are together? And the answer is technically no. So as a married couple, it's kind of interesting. I actually sleep better when I'm in bed with my wife because I have the comparisons, which is like, let's say I go travel somewhere, or let's say the wife and kid are go out somewhere else, and you know I'm here back in St. Louis, and they go back to visit the in-laws, and I'm alone at the house. It feels different. It feels weird to be in the bed alone. It just doesn't feel right. It feels like something's off. I'm a guy of routine. I don't like that sort of thing. So I do think that it's a little bit weird when they do a survey and they said that you get better sleep when you're technically alone. It says, when sleep is measured objectively in couples, people sleep a bit worse when they share a bed. Men are more likely to have certain sleep disorders, such as a sleep apnea or snoring, while women, quote, are more vulnerable to insomnia, so their threshold for being awakened by a partner could be lower. I would love to talk to someone that has separate beds. You're married and you have two bed scenarios because you know what? That is becoming more popular. And as part of this survey that they're talking about, in 2017, Architectural Digest called separate sleeping arrangements, quote, the hottest new amenity in luxury homes. So if you're buying a high-end home and you're furnishing that high-end home, you're finding that in that high-end home, in the master bedroom, there's two beds. You know, on the old TV shows when they said, let's push the beds together because on television they didn't want to show the married couple in the same bed together like they had the separate beds. You know, no one was doing that sort of thing. You knew exactly what they were doing when they were pushing those beds together.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know. Oh, boy. But I think it's weird. But I'll tell you this. You ever gone to a hotel and you have the option to get two queen beds or one king bed? And you're like, oh, how about we do the two queens and you each get your own separate bed, but you're in the same room together? That's pretty awesome luxury. That's awesome, getting your own separate bed. I don't know. It's just weird. I think everyone's a little bit different that way. Does anyone right now have separate sleeping arrangements from your wife or husband? Do you have a separate bed set up? I would love to learn what that conversation was like in that decision and if it really helped your sleep. Because I'm sure some people have tried it, regretted it, went back to the original. And maybe some have done it and never turned back. There was one episode of King of Queens, the old James, what's his name? Whatever the lead actor of that show is, Kevin James, and they do that episode where they get the two separate beds, and they said it's one of the greatest luxuries they ever had, but then they eventually putting it back together. Yeah. 2017, Architectural Digest, separate sleeping arrangements, the hottest new amenity in luxury homes. They said that 12% of married couples sleep in separate beds. 12% sleep separate beds. I don't know if I know any of them. I'm sure there's some out there. I'd love to hear your story. You can also text in at 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You're going to be putting the beds together tonight. I am sure of it. This is kind of like pillow talk. You guys didn't have pillow talk down here. There was a radio show host in Detroit, and he was kind of nationally known for this, but he was just a local DJ that was on like a smooth jazz station. You know, some white dude that really pushed his voice down like this. And they played like slow jazz. They called it Pillow Talk, and it was, like, really popular up there. Maybe I'll do that some night. I'll do my best Pillow Talk impersonation. We'll take some of your calls coming up on Overnight America. You know what? How about before we go to break? Let's go to Jonathan real quick. I was going to go to break, but instead, I'm going to get your call first because I'm intrigued by it. What's going on, Jonathan?
Yeah, I heard an old story about an old couple that slept in separate beds for years, and somebody asked them, how's that all work out? And the lady said, well, we've had a routine all these years. Every night when we climb in bed, our separate beds, he throws his hat over to me. And some nights I throw it back to him. And some nights I take it back to him.
And that's the routine.
That's the routine.
That's kind of a weird routine, isn't it? That seems something like animals in the wild would do something like that.
Well, I couldn't live like that.
You've never tried or even thought about doing the separate beds?
No. Actually, we've got one of those beds where both of them move separately, and so they're scooted together, but it's got a big crack in the middle. It's awful strange.
Oh, I know. I've seen those things, and when we were doing bed shopping, we looked at them. It is pretty fascinating. How much did one of those set you back? Can I ask you that?
Oh, my goodness. I think it was like $2,300 or something, but everybody's got their own remote control, and it's not so bad, but every once in a while you kind of fall down between, you know.
I did some research. So apparently you drop the box springs, and then you have to get a special mattress that would allow for this, or either you get two separate mattresses that you just put side by side. And I understand that the thing that happens in those is the motors can go out in them, which is scary because you're spending $2,200 on something you know a motor could go out on at any time.
Well, then I have to get out the vice grips, I guess.
You figure it out. You know, ingenuity, that's how it works. Thanks, Jonathan. Good to hear from you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. All right, so that's the method. Two different beds, but if you want to lure the wife over, you throw the hat. She might bring it back or she might throw it back. You don't know. I have a feeling she's got a pretty good arm. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Oh, boy.
We're on live until midnight, and then we have the replay hours from midnight until 2 a.m. We'll talk about that Project Veritas latest bombshell report about Jeffrey Epstein. Wow, how about that? Also, our interview with Brian Kilmeade in his new book on Sam Houston. Very fascinating. Look at one of the big historic figures that you probably skipped over in your history class, I'm going to guess. My wife grew up in Texas, and I asked her, you know, in school, did they talk about Sam Houston at all? She said, who's Sam Houston? So that answer is negative on that one. So in the next hour there. And we'll also have a guest on to talk about synthetic identity fraud. It's kind of scary if you think about all the different ways you can get scammed out there. And we'll get his opinion on some ways you can protect yourself. That's from the 1 to 2 a.m. hour there, too. I had this story. I was going to make fun of this girl, 24-year-old woman. I don't understand why some people go through extreme lengths to modify their body. So common things are tattoos. People will go and they'll get tattoos from toe to elbow and anywhere in between and places you can see and places you can't see. And they'll think that's, you know, the greatest thing ever and whatever. Some people will dye their hair. Some people will do even more extreme things like, you know, the nose rings. Or they'll get, like, their tongue split. I've seen some people do that, which is kind of a really gross thing, the tongue split. Now, let me tell you what one woman has done that she has regretted when it comes to body modifications. She decided to tattoo her eyeball. Doesn't that sound like a terrible idea? What person would think that's a good idea other than this 24-year-old woman? So far, she has spent $37,000 in modifying her body. $37,000. She underwent this dangerous 40-minute procedure to transform her eyes. Why is this offered? Okay, number one. Number two, why is this legal? Why could you legally tattoo someone else's eyeballs and still be in good standing? So her name is Amber. She calls herself the blue-eyed white dragon. The blue-eyed white dragon, and, you know, develops this bizarre fashion with extreme modifications, started at the age of 16. Says, I can't even begin to describe to you what the feeling was like. The best thing I can give you is once the eyeball is penetrated with the ink, it felt like the tattoo artist grabbed 10 shards of glass and rubbed it in my eye. Why do people do that? I mean, it's gross, it's sick, and I'm looking at the pictures. It doesn't look good. She looks terrible. She's got tattoos all over her face. She's got tattoos on her ears, her foreheads, above her eyebrows, below her eyes, on her cheeks, on her jawline, and on her chin. I mean, her whole face is tattooed. Her neck's tattooed. It looks terrible. It looks gross. And the first thing I think of is, why would anyone hire you to do anything to represent them? If your eyeball procedure is done correctly, you're not supposed to go blind, but she did. She went blind for 3 weeks. I don't even feel bad for her. I mean, this is the cost of doing business when you're stupid, you know? She said, I don't plan on getting any more body modifications that are extreme, so no tongue splitting, no more eyeball tattooing. Well, no kidding. You're really turned off to the eyeball tattooing. You've done it, huh? You've really done it now. Why? Oh, Sid's calling in from Alabama. Hey, Sid, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan, I got talking about sleeping in separate beds.
Yeah.
My wife and I, of course, we've been married for about 45 years. But anyway, yeah, the last 15 years, I sleep upstairs in our bed, in a separate bed, and she sleeps downstairs. But basically, I got run out by a poodle.
The dog gets precedent? The dog gets better accommodations than you.
Yeah. When she got her poodle, then that dog starts jumping in bed. I said, well, I'm just moving on.
Wait, so you made the decision to leave? You let the poodle be the dominant one in that situation?
Yeah. Well, I retired, too, and then I always had an earplug or something, radio or something, trying my ears, so it was one of them, and she was still working. But anyway, it was convenient and it worked out, you know.
How many years have you been married?
45.
Okay, and how many years have you been sleeping in separate areas?
Oh, about 15.
Okay, that's a long time. Do you sleep better that way?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because of the radio and stuff, you know, making my own, don't make wake her up or anything. But anyway, I got a story to tell you.
Great.
My grandmother, she was hard hearing pretty much her whole life. And when her and my grandfather would go to bed, my grandfather would say to her, you want to sleep or watch? And actually, she couldn't hardly hear him. She'd say, what? Ryan, they had 11 kids.
11? Oh, wow. You want to sleep for what? Thanks, Sid, for that. I like it. Sid's phone cut out. How about that? The poodle kicked him out of the bedroom, and he's happy sleeping in a different room. I guess there's a couple of times where I've slept in a different bed. Like if one of us is sick, you know, we'll quarantine ourselves into another room. When we go and visit and travel, sometimes we sleep in different rooms. Like when I go and visit my parents' house, there was a situation where the rooms were a little bit smaller, and to be more comfortable, we'd set up a cot. So my son would be like on a cot and my wife would sleep in a bed, and I would go sleep in a separate bed with the in a different room with the dog because, you know, all of us couldn't fit in some area. Well, now that, you know, my good old puppy passed, I don't know what we're going to do next time I visit my parents' house. Maybe we'll be all in the same room, or maybe I'll get my own room with my own separate bed. And that would be the greatest feeling ever. Whew! The freedom! It's kind of nice when you travel, but at the home, it's a little bit strange, I think. At least for my feeling, I would feel left out. But maybe it's something that you have to try. It's like, don't knock it till you try it type of situations. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Got a couple more minutes of Overnight America, and then the replay hour starts at midnight. Hey, Producer Mike, you said that the Blues game just went and finished in overtime?
Yeah, just wrapped up a late game in Vancouver.
All right, so what happened?
possibly the funniest overtime game winner I've ever seen in NHL history.
You know, I forgot about these overtime games, the ones that, and when you go to Vancouver, the late starts for Overnight America when we used to run the games. Like, so we wouldn't even be on till after midnight type of games tonight if we were still covering the games.
Yep.
All right, so Blues, they're doing pretty good this year. They're in Vancouver. They go to overtime. What happens?
So Vancouver had an opportunity. They came down, put a shot on net. The rebound went to the corner. You know, overtime's 3-on-3. Well, all three Vancouver guys were the closest to the puck, so they all went to get it, and they all fell on each other.
No, knock, 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 Three Stooge style?
Yeah. Creating a Blues 3-on-0. I've never seen a 3-on-0 in the NHL before. So Braden Schenn, Alex Pietrangelo, and Jaden Schwartz all came down 3-on-0. Schenn to Petro to Schwartz. Game.
It looked pretty. They made it look easy, I bet.
Completed by the Vancouver goalie absolutely smashing his stick on the post.
So tic-tac-toe. Boom, boom, boom. Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see that. So now, what's the Blues record now? Do you know offhand?
Really good.
They are
first in the
well.
West.
That's awesome to see that. They've had a couple of instances where they're so silky with that puck. It's unbelievable. Like, they have been able to dissect these defenses a couple of times. They're looking good. Like, before, they were still trying to get the chemistry. now they won the cup. They're back at it. And they're like showing off. Like they're like, huh, we got that weight off of our back. Now let's have some fun. Like the Blues are looking pretty good this year. I like seeing that. So I'm going to have to check this out. So they just won in overtime. Good for them.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Producer Mike. There was something I played on Sunday and I realized I should have played it. I should have played it again yesterday on Monday, but I didn't. Now it's Tuesday. Did you notice online at KMOX.com, Kevin Kleene had a follow-up to the homeless millionaire? I love this story. It's just such a cool, cool story that we have people out there looking for the homeless man who likes to take a little sip of turpentine every now and again for his health. He's out there. He's got $1 million in the bank, and he just prefers to live on the street. And people have been looking for him, and it got national attention. In fact, Kevin Kleene's piece that he wrote about was reported all across the United States on other national newspapers and things. Kevin Kleene never got the credit he deserved for this. They never mentioned him by name. They said a reporter on KMOX or a reporter in Missouri. They never gave him the credit he deserved, and he did all of this awesome reporting on it. So now we have an answer after it's been dormant for a while and everyone continued to look for this homeless millionaire.
Hey, Gary Schaefer, are you down there?
Is that the best you can yell?
I know, I'm getting old. Hey, Gary.
Gary! Gary Schaefer! Are you there?
It was back in September when St. Louis Alderman Joe Vaccaro and I were yelling into a Maplewood Creek trying to find his old friend Gary Schaefer, for whom Vaccaro says he had helped set up a bank account with the dying mother's money worth about $1 million. The search turned to Kirkwood, where many said they had seen him in the past on a blue bicycle, and he never asked for money.
Every time anybody wants to give him money, he will say no, thank you, and he just wants to be left alone.
He stays down about 100 yards away from here on a picnic table and sleeps there sometimes during the day.
But there was no sign of Gary Schaefer in the area for weeks until he turned up in a local care facility and agreed to an interview.
I'm tight. I'm cheap, if that's a good word for
but
it.
You're a wealthy man.
But I don't see it that way.
But people would say, why is he living on the street under a bridge when everybody's out there in the rat race trying to make money to pay their mortgage? It's like, is it better out there?
You answered the question yourself. Everyone is working their ass off trying to get even, where I'm willing to take the disadvantage of not being...
Were you happy living on the streets?
Yes, I was.
What was happy about it? What's it like to have that freedom?
That's it. You just answered the question. You have freedom, and I don't have to get up and go to work. And other people do, even yourself.
I mean, most people, they can't even go on a camp out without wanting to get back to their home and take a shower and sleep in their bed.
Well, I have girlfriends.
Schaefer admits he did eat food out of trash cans from time to time, but he denies what the alderman said, that he likes to take a spot of turpentine for his health. With the winter approaching, I ask him if he was relieved he wouldn't be out on the streets.
It's not going to be so bad as you think, you know.
Do you want to get back on the streets?
Yeah, that's why I'm in here. I'm trying to get out.
Born free as the wind.
As I was getting ready to leave the care facility, the nurses were putting in a movie called Born Free about the lion Elsa. A room full of other patients in wheelchairs were watching, but Gary Schaefer is still able to walk, and the nurses say he likes to walk a lot. And beauty surrounds you. With a whole nother story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Still astounds you each time you look at a star.
Hey, a little slow dance song at the dance, huh? Love it. So I listened to that on Sunday and got the sneak preview. And I immediately messaged Kevin Killeen and I said, Kevin, this is so good. Kevin! Well, I messaged him and said, do you believe that he's not drinking a little sip of turpentine as he's telling you? And Kevin said, oh, I was just about to tell you. Later, the alderman, Joe Vaccaro, messaged him and said, well, Gary wanted to clarify something he told you. Yes, he does take a little sip of turpentine. That's like the best part of the story, the turpentine story. Oh, we got a couple of minutes. Looks like Terry's calling in from St. Louis. Hey, Terry, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, so now you have a whole another homeless thing on here again.
Yeah, that's Gary. We've done this series for the past couple of months. People have been searching for him, and that's the conclusion of it all. So we've Kevin Kleen finally found him.
Oh, they found him?
Yes, that was the idea.
I have you know my story, but
yes.
I have one of my guys, Eddie, he ended up being very sick, and so he's been out there for 15 years. And I think that what I really kind of want to tell you is that people do, I did not choose, like, I made bad choices, and I ended up out there, and it was very difficult to get out of there. Mm-hmm. But people do choose to be out there.
He did. He wanted to be there. Yeah.
Sure. Sure. And then you learn how to improvise. You learn how to survive the life. You just do it, and it's okay to them.
Mm-hmm.
And no judgment. You know, to each his own. But yeah. So
I don't get it. Honestly, I don't understand.
I don't, that and I will say, because and I have to say, and this is why I really love talking to you, and I know I piss you off, or I don't know if that's okay to say on the air, but
no, you don't make me angry. I don't feel that way,
but I would never choose this life.
Yeah,
I just, you get, you know there are many reasons people are out here, but many of them are out here for bad choices.
Yeah.
And you get out here and you get stuck.
You
get stuck in a rut, and it's a hamster, you know, what do you call it? On a wheel.
Yeah, I know.
And well, you, so.
You know, we have to.
Point being.
Yeah, real quick. We only got about 10 seconds left.
Dang it. It's so quick.
I know. You should have called in earlier.
Gosh. Well, anyway, I've found friends that are they're very sick out here. They have chosen this life, however, mm-hmm. they're not doing well, and but they do choose it.
Yeah.
For their own, for whatever reason.
All right, Terry. Hey, thank you so much for calling in. It's good to hear from you again. All right, that does it for us here on Overnight America. We'll have the replay hour starting here at midnight, and you can always reach me on Twitter at Ryan Recker, and the podcast is KMOX.com/ONA. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night.
Slow, if things were only like they used to be, we'd be lying in love tonight. I wish you'd call me on the telephone. I don't want to spend another night alone. Sleeping with the radio on, it's the
Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.